In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, July 25th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Donald Trump is enjoying a post-Republican National Convention bounce. According to the LA Times presidential election poll, Trump pulls out his biggest lead yet against Hillary Clinton, 45.1% to 41.7%. Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family and Family Talk Radio, endorsed the Republican nominee for U.S. President, Donald Trump. Dobson said his endorsement comes out of, quote, great concern about Hillary Clinton, unquote, and his appreciation for the, quote, selection of Governor Mike Pence as Mr. Trump's running mate, unquote. The Democratic National Committee chairwoman, Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, announced her decision to resign yesterday amid controversy over 20,000 leaked emails that exposed the DNC's underhanded efforts to stifle Senator Bernie Sanders' popularity during the primaries. Proverbs 5:22 tells us that the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. The American Family Association has announced it will continue its boycott of Target for what they call a dangerous policy, allowing transgendered use of bathrooms. Thus far, they've collected 1.4 million signatures in the boycott of the chain department store. Ed Battagliano, executive vice president of AFA, has also been speaking out against the Chicago YMCA bathroom policy that allows for transgendered use of their bathrooms. Battagliano spoke to The World View on what he sees as an alarming trend.
It's clear to us that not only the Bible, but nature itself, that mankind exists with only two genders, male and female. Once you depart from that very clear dichotomy, there is no real stopping place.
It was a big weekend for terror around the world. Germany was hit with two more terrorist events. 9 people died in a mass shooting at a mall in Munich. The suspect, an 18-year-old Iranian immigrant, was found dead shortly after the attack. And last night, a suicide bomber injured at least 10 at an open-air musical festival at Ansbach. That adds up to 3 terror attacks in Germany and 1 in France in the last 10 days alone. Also, another 80 people were killed in a terrorist attack in Kabul, Afghanistan, on Saturday. Psalm 10 says, "He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly, as a lion in his den. Arise, O Lord! O God, lift up your hand. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none." The U.S.-backed Radio Free Asia reported that churches in China are banned from leading religious worship during the G20 summit in September in order to, quote, create a safe environment for the meeting, unquote. Zhang Mingzhuan, the president of China's House Church Alliance, objected, saying that, quote, the Bible teaches that we cannot stop meeting, unquote. The Colorado baker Jack Phillips is appealing his case to the United States Supreme Court. Homosexual activists took issue with Phillips 4 years ago when he refused to celebrate homosexual marriage with one of his cakes. Colorado's Civil Rights Commission issued a ruling against Phillips for violating discrimination statutes. Alliance Defending Freedom is appealing this case to the Supreme Court on the basis that, quote, freedom of expression, including artistic expression, is a protected right. A government that forces Americans to express certain messages against their conscience acts outside of the U.S. Constitution. A Christian woman in England is being recognized for donating $1,300 to a Muslim butcher who was attacked and robbed at his shop. Christian Today reports that Mohammed Riaz, 58, suffered a broken jaw, loosened teeth, and cuts and bruises when intruders attacked and robbed him of $3,900. The woman, who identified herself only as Jane, wrote, quote, "Dear Mr. Riaz, I was so sorry to read in the Telegraph of the attack on your shop. I am a Christian, and Jesus Christ taught that when we see someone in trouble, we should not walk by without helping, unquote. Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:43-45. And that's the World View on this Monday, July 25th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado, intending to bring the Word of God to bear in every area of life, including the area of media, as well as politics and everything else. But today I want to focus in on media, as I've been part of the media, actually, for quite some time. God has given me opportunities in media since I was, well, maybe 19 years old. And I was doing some radio broadcasting out on the West Coast, and was working in news stations, various stations up and down the West Coast from Santa Barbara up through San Luis Obispo. So that's been my focus over the years. And today we want to take a look at media and the truth. It's so easy, friends, to bend the truth. And the truth is something that we as Christians embrace. We love the truth. We embrace the truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. But let's take a look at some of the issues that have been on the front page of CNN and Fox News for the last number of weeks. I'm thinking about police shootings. I'm thinking about certain minorities that some say are targeted by police officers, and certain minorities that have been shot in cold blood, according to the perspectives of some. Now, again, this is the sort of impression that we receive as we see the front page of FoxNews.com or CNN.com, and then we've seen Black Lives Matters, riots and marches in American cities across the fruited plains, and they've shut down freeways, I believe, in certain cities across America.
In certain colleges, too, and you know, all kinds of stuff.
So, friends, this is what we're seeing across the United States right now, and I think we have a media-generated mob at points. At points, the media does create crises. And by the way, the mob also sometimes manufactures crises, too. This has always been a revolutionary tactic. Anybody interested in revolution, whether it be Marxist revolution or Islamic revolution, any other form of revolution in which we turn over the existing order by way of bloodshed or by way of mobs, it is the Marxists, it's the revolutionaries that have been behind this for quite some time, I think all the way back to the French Revolution.
Yeah, even Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals kind of gives you the idea of you create the crisis and then you take care of the crisis and you can then gain power from that.
Does the media play a part in this? That's the question I'm going to ask on this edition of the program. I think at points it does. And I don't think it's just the liberal media. Sometimes it is the conservative media that does the same thing. So be careful. The media sometimes does create crises that don't really exist. Now, do understand that there have been police shootings. There have been innocent people shot by police, I believe, in the history of America. Now, I can't point at every instance in which that has happened, but whenever that happens, whenever innocent people are shot and killed, it's a sad, sad story. And it hurts the community. The community is impacted. Anytime that happens, when five police officers lost their lives in Dallas a week or two ago, it shocked the community. It rocked the community and probably did so for a number of weeks. Same thing in Baton Rouge, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
You remember when somebody who I didn't know personally, but I had a number of friends who knew this man. They attended his church. He was a homeschooling father. He was a police officer shot down at the Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs about 6 or 8 months ago. A very sad story. I think we even covered it on this radio program. But whenever that happens, whenever a police officer is shot, that is a shocking, shocking thing, and the community is impacted by it. But let's be careful that we don't establish trends or pretend that something is happening across the nation when it's not happening. The most accurate data I found on police shootings from the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund
found that the average number of police officers killed in the line of duty per year in the 1930s was between the 200s and 300s. So anywhere between 200 and 350 or so. That's the number of police officers killed on an annual basis in America in the 1930s. In the 1970s, it averaged in the 200s. In the 2010s, it's averaged in around the 110s, 120s, and 130s.
So about half.
Yeah, it's about half of what police officers were losing their lives in the 1930s or the 1970s. So you see this year so far. Now this year we've seen that the killings of police officers have occurred and made the front page of Fox News or CNN.com several different times. What we find this year so far, 66 police officers have been killed in the first 6 months of 2016, 31 by gunfire. Now, again, that rate is somewhere around 120 to 130 a year, and that's down from the 200s in the 1970s.
Is this something, though, or are they trying to portray these, especially like Dallas and Baton Rouge, is this something different than others who were in a gun battle that they're fighting the bad guys and they got shot? This is sniper stuff. Is that something that's different?
It's included. It's included, right. It's line of duty. Anybody that was in the line of duty. Now, they do, you know, figure out how many were killed by gunfire and how many were killed by auto accident and so forth. And the ratios are about the same year by year, at least since the 1970s. Anyway, folks, if you're interested in the real data, go to National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund and you'll find the real data. And this helps us to place into context what is happening. Sometimes we're given the impression there's a trend going on when there really isn't a trend. So let's at least, you know, be sure we understand what is happening by the real data. Here's a recent speech given at the Republican National Convention in which somebody says American neighborhoods have become more violent since President Obama has been in office. Well, as it turns out, according to the most recent FBI data, violent crime across the nation has decreased since 2008. It's decreased from 458.6 per 100,000 in 2008 to 365.5 per 100,000 in 2014. That's a 20% decrease since Obama took office. Now, I believe there are reasons for that, and it's not just the fact that the President of the United States was there. Interestingly, though, Americans are more concerned about crime. It does turn out the Gallup poll from March cited the percentage of Americans who worry a great deal about crime and violence is at 53%. That's up 14% since 2014. The poll said the level of concern about crime and violence in America is at its highest point in 15 years. That being the case, of course, some politician is going to say, hey, Americans are concerned. I better exploit that right now in my speech. Be back in just a moment with more on the truth on the Generations Radio broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here. talking about the truth and the media and the impressions, the perceptions we have concerning trends. Friends, we're not minimizing any instance of violence. We're not minimizing any instance of the slaughter of the innocents. We're not minimizing sniper fire or what happens when police officers are shot in Dallas. These are serious indications of the evil of men's hearts. Let's get back to this again and again. I think the point I want to make, though, is that man's heart has not differed much from the 1930s when the Revenuers and others were shot by those that were illegally transferring alcohol across state borders and so forth. But the instance of police shootings and police killings higher in the 1930s than they are in the 2010s. Just keep that in mind. In terms of trends, we're not seeing an increase in terms of the trends. However, we are continuing to see the evil that men do, that the heart indeed is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jesus said, out of the heart cometh murders, and we continue to see this. Now, when we say the truth, when we encourage people to the truth, when we say Christians are interested in the truth, two aspects of truth, the first of which is truth about God and truth about man. Let's maintain this truth in the Word of God concerning anthropology, concerning theology, that God Himself is sovereign over all things. The Word of God says that God creates light and He creates darkness. He creates that which is good and He creates calamity. He creates that which is evil. God Himself is sovereign over the evil things that men do. And in fact, the arch crime in all of human history, when Jesus Christ, the pure Lamb of God, the very Son of God Himself, was placed on the cross by Jewish leaders and Roman leaders, that indeed was part of the predetermined counsel of God. We read that in Acts chapter 2, that God is sovereign over the evil things that men do. So let's keep these truths in mind. This is not being communicated very well on FoxNews.com or CNN.com. They don't refer to the providence of God or the sovereignty of God in all of these various things. The worldview in 5 minutes does. We're trying to bring a distinctively Christian viewpoint into the news. I know that's a shocking thing for many of you who've been living with humanist news for a very long time, but we're trying to put it in the context of biblical truth. So again, let's be sure that we remind people that God is sovereign, but man is sinful, and man has a heart problem. And the very core issue when it comes to the evil that men do is really the heart of man. Let's keep that in mind. The truth about God, the truth about man, both crucial in understanding these things. But there's a second aspect also, and that is we need to know the truth about the situation itself. Sometimes we're led astray concerning what is really happening across the United States by the power of the 27-point font on the front page of FoxNews.com. It is interesting how a news source can create an impression, you see, or a perception, Steve, by the size of font used. Mm-hmm. And by the repetition of certain headlines day in and day out. Now, these guys, I think these guys know what they're doing. I think the Fox News, the CNN folks know exactly what they're doing. And oftentimes, our minds are biased. Our minds are prejudiced against the truth. And we begin to perceive trends that really don't exist because of the size of font used on the front headlines on FoxNews.com.
Yeah, we see that a lot also in all of these huge viruses or bacterias and things like that when they say this is ravaging everybody and it's coming, it's going to kill everybody. And you see like the bird flu that only killed as many people as regular flu did. Mm-hmm. You start looking at what the real statistics are, but if you can create hype, then you get people to watch you, then you get more advertisers, you get more money.
You get more votes.
Yes.
You get more votes. Create the crisis, create the fear, and every politician out there knows this, and I think every news media person knows it. Create the fear, you get more listeners, you get more votes, and you get more power. They understand that principle, friends. Create the fear, and you get more power. Here's what Proverbs 12:17 tells us. I encourage you to the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, which realigns our perspectives on just about everything all day long. Proverbs 12:17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, he declares deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those that defies evil. But counselors of peace have joy. No grave troubles will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Well, friends, there are two aspects of truth. First is the truth concerning all of reality, the truth concerning God, the truth concerning man, the truth concerning redemption, the truth concerning the true solutions. The true solutions, when it affects what's happening in the hearts of men, and the crime issue, etc., etc., is not going to be politics, and it won't be the prison system, but it will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, regeneration and redemption will be the only thing that solves the problems that we're facing in our generation. Now, here's another aspect to this. We talked a little bit about the police, but let's talk about the fact that some believe that certain minorities are being targeted by the police. According to data from the National Archive of Criminal Justice, the number of justifiable homicides by law enforcement officers has fluctuated between 300 and 450 per year. Between 1976 and 1980, blacks or African Americans made up about 50% of the recorded justifiable homicides. Now, when we say justifiable homicides, they were reported as such. And I know some will be saying, well, you know, there may be some debate on some of those issues. And my assumption is that these things will be decided in a court of law, and they should be decided in a court of law. There ought to be two or three witnesses, and every case needs to be decided on the basis of two or three witnesses. Let's use biblical principle, friends, to hold our courts accountable for dealing with issues in which there may have been an unjustifiable homicide. The point being that 50% of recorded justifiable homicides between 76 and 1980 were made up by African Americans. Now, the Washington Post did their own report over the year 2015 and found 24% of those shot and killed by police were of African American descent, meaning that, again, if we're stepping back and we're saying, let's look at the trends, how are things today as opposed to where they were in the 1970s? Well, in the 1970s, according to the National Archive of Criminal Justice, the ratio was 50%. In the last year, according to the Washington Post, and their work they did, 24% of those shot and killed by police were of African American descent. So again, friends, this is the data that I've found. Now, perhaps others can find other data, but the point is I wanted to know. I didn't want to read the headlines of one particular anecdotal account on the front page of CNN.com. And by the way, CNN.com goes after the racial element, and they tend to really incite the racial element as much as they possibly can, it seems. And FoxNews.com sort of takes the other side of this. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
They're working the police end of it. CNN's working the African-American end of it. Friends, I think that whether you're African-American, whether you're white, yellow, white, black, red, whatever you are, you ought to be interested in the truth. And you need to be asking yourself, am I receiving the truth and what really are the trends? And here's another problem. As these things are emphasized by CNN.com, and as they point out the 100 to 200 African Americans killed by police every year, they don't report very much on 800,000 blacks who are killed every year by abortion. So again, friends, this is a ratio of 5,000. Now, in the case of those African Americans killed by the police, some may or may not have been killed according to a justifiable homicide or by an unjustifiable homicide. I don't have the answers for all of that. I don't have the statistics for all of it. My guess is these things are decided in the court of law. And it seems like there have been a number of court trials in which these courts have carefully worked through the evidence on a number of different cases. But let me ask you this. Do they do that for the 800,000 black babies killed every year in their mother's wombs?
No.
No, they don't. So again, friends, your perspectives are being set by CNN.com. Your priorities, your ethics, your view as to what is important, what is not important, is set by the headlines of these powerful media sources like CNN.com. Where is the Black Babies Lives Matter group? Have you seen that group around lately, Steve?
No, if you really want to see who hates the black people, the African Americans, it is Planned Parenthood. It's Margaret Sanger who started Planned Parenthood, who called the African American race human weeds and wanted to exterminate them. That was her goal in this. You take a look at where most Planned Parenthoods exist. They are in the black communities because that's what they're still out to do.
Well, I'd encourage you to blackgenocide.org. This is led by a pastor who happens to be an African-American, but he's very concerned about the 800,000 black babies killed every year. And friends, that's 5,000 times the incidence of African-Americans killed by justifiable homicides at the hands of police or unjustifiable homicides, depending how their court trials work out. But friends, I'm telling you, we're looking at a problem that's 5,000 times the problem. In fact, even more than that, when you consider the fact these little black babies have no court trial, there's nobody standing in the gap for them, or very few. And friends, we're looking at 436 abortions per 1,000 live births amongst African-American babies. 436 per 1,000. Black women have 36% of all abortions, and they make up only 11% of the population. That's black genocide.
Yes.
Friends, that's a concern. That's a significant concern. As Steve mentioned, a lot of these Planned Parenthoods have been focusing in upon the African-American population since the 1930s and 1940s, when their founder, Margaret Sanger, encouraged such a practice. Black women have 36% of all abortions, and they make up only 11% of the population. What is that, a 300% increase? They have three times the incidence of abortions than other minorities in the white population, friends. We're talking about black women having 36% of the abortions, and they make up only 11% of the population. And I'm talking about a system. It's the Planned Parenthood system. It's the ways in which they're trained in public schools. It's the perspectives that they're receiving from the media. Whatever it is, there's these influences across society that are encouraging a larger incidence of African-American abortions than what we find in the wider population. This is a significant problem. I wish somebody would throw a flag on the play on this one. 18 million black babies have been killed. There are 38 million blacks in America. That means about one-third of the black population has been wiped out in just the last 30 years. Friends, one-third of the black population wiped out in just the last 30 years. Is that a concern for anybody out there? Do we find those numbers on the front page of FoxNews.com, let alone CNN.com? The media, friends, is all about diversions. They get the mob all worked up about a tertiary issue in order that they will ignore the real problems. That's the strategy of the liberal left. That's the strategy of a media that is not interested in the truth. That's the strategy of a media organization that does not submit itself to the book of Proverbs 12:17. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Friends, check out the truth from time to time. Gain a little bit better perspective. Understand the priorities. Understand God's law, first and foremost, and how God's law treats children in their mother's wombs. Understand what God's law has to say about negligence, about justifiable homicide. The Word of God actually has something to say about all of this. Why? Because God himself is the very source of justice. God is the one who defines right and wrong. And the problem, of course, is those that are the editors for CNN.com and FoxNews.com do not have their minds properly geared and structured according to the ethical construct given to us in the Word of God by the law of God. Let's be sure that as Christians, we understand the difference between right and wrong, that which is just and that which is unjust. Understand the Word of God establishes our priorities on these things, and please submit your minds to the truth of God's Word. The problem, of course, is that the media does not properly contextualize the data they present on the front page, and they don't define truth itself by the laws of God and what the Word of God says about the nature of God and the nature of man. Friends, be sure you insist on the truth, but without the Word of God, we have no access to truth. My encouragement to you is be sure that you root and ground your children in the truth. Be sure they understand the various worldviews, the truthful worldviews and the false worldviews that are used by our institutions today, whether it be the universities, the media, or politics. That's why we put together the new course, Worldviews in Conflict. It's a full high school course preferably for 11th graders or 12th graders, in which our young people are taken through the philosophies of the day, the great literature of the day, the great cultural systems of the day, and they contrast these things with a distinctively biblical worldview. Worldviews in conflict, looking at the philosophies and the literature of the last 300 years and comparing it with a distinctively biblical worldview. Get this Worldviews in Conflict course at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And by the way, visit our website today, generations.org, the brand new website. We just released it this week. It's exciting to see all of the gifts and all of the work that's gone into this ministry and all the facets of this ministry, friends. It's not just this radio program. We have 10 or 15 other projects going on. It's all part of the Generations Radio Ministry. Generations.org, the brand new website. Visit it today. That's generations.org. And don't forget to pick up a copy of Worldviews in Conflict for your high school student or for your entire family. Worldviews in Conflict, available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.